Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mostly Spoilers. My name is Mike.
I'm Laird.
And Laird.
Hi.
We are in the midst of your favorite week.
I do love Burger Week.
Do you love... Now, let's go over this. You love burgers.
I do.
You're a huge burger fan.
Excuse how many? Me. I've said about the comments on the size.
How many of the Burger Week burgers this year?
Oh, we're just limiting it to this year.
Just this year.
Just this year.
Do you think you're going to eat?
Now, when did Burger Week start? Just so we can give them context.
Burger on, like, Week how much started three days ago.
3 days ago. Okay, and so are we just talking about all the burgers I'm going to eat, or are we including the ones I have had this year as well?
All of the Burger Week ones that you have already eaten and plan on eating.
Okay, in 2018.
The total 2018 Burger Week final burger tally. Okay. What do you think it's going to be?
And this is like out of, I think there's like 60 burgers participating.
There's 125 burgers
what?
This year.
I only saw like, okay, but anyway, fine. So 125
out of 125 burgers.
Okay, you have the number. So out of 125 burgers, my total burger tally in this year's Burger Week will be zero.
Perfect. And you, so you love burgers.
I do.
So why is tasty. It that you are not, wait, why don't we tell the people, I know why you're not going to have burgers.
He does.
But why don't you tell the people why you're not going to have any burger, specifically Burger Week burgers.
Yeah. Well, the thing about Burger Week burgers is you're getting a Burger Week burger with the intent that there's something special about the burger, correct?
Mostly.
No, I mean, you're okay, so you're telling me you would go out and get a Burger Week burger that's just lettuce, tomato, burger, bread.
Well, I would in that the Burger Week was developed as a fundraiser for Feed Nova Scotia.
Yeah, but okay, well, I'm saying, okay, could you go out and find a Burger Week burger that was just lettuce, tomato, burger, bread?
Not really.
No.
There's all, you know, there might be like lettuce, tomato, kangaroo bread.
Yeah.
Or like lettuce...
That's a real thing.
That's a real thing. Or like lettuce, chorizo sausage, deep-fried jalapeno.
Sure, bread. But my point is that in order to make it a successful fundraiser, you have to get people out on more than the premise.
You have
premise
to give people a reason to be coming out. They're coming out for some crazy burger.
So the excitement is there's something special about the burger.
Special burgers.
Yes, and at the very least, what makes something on the burger special is going to fall into one of the categories of things I don't eat. Number one of which, because I know you're winding up to ask, cheese. I do not eat
cheese.
Doesn't
eat cheese.
Yeah.
Doesn't eat...
Accurate.
Cheese. Mm-hmm. What is your... Do you eat any cheeses at all?
No.
You will not eat any cheese?
No.
Would you eat powdered cheese on a chip?
It's not cheese. And well, if it is cheese, then I won't eat
flavor.
It.
Flavor.
That's a very different thing.
Well, here's a question. What is it about cheese that you don't like if it's not the flavor?
Milk fat.
You don't like the milk fat?
Yeah.
Fat is your problem with cheese?
No, fat that has been curdled to create curds, which are cheese. So the fermentation of that fat, I don't like it. It's gross.
So would you eat a raw cheese?
No.
Would you eat a fake cheese?
Would I? Could I? Are we doing this really?
Would you eat a fake cheese?
A fake cheese.
So like, for example, my family doesn't eat dairy.
Okay.
So we eat Daiya cheese, D-A-I-Y-A. It's a cheese substitute. Comes shredded or sliced or brick. We usually buy the shreds and use them for.
It feels like a really deficient like brand name for a not a cheese cheese.
Well,
Daiya wanna have a something else right now.
No, it's
Daiya wish you were eating actual cheese.
Daiya wish you were eating cheese, bye. No, it's a good brand actually. They make some really good stuff. So would
what
you
do they make?
Eat? Well, they make cheese.
No, they don't.
They make a cheese substitute.
There we go.
They make pizzas. They make salad dressings. They make a mac and cheese substitute. They make a whole series
now
of
just,
different things.
Just for my own clarification here, is it a substitute for all mac and cheese, or is it actual macaroni with a cheese substitute? Because it could go either way.
It is actual macaroni with a substitute.
Okay,
because
I was waiting
product.
For like this emulation that was some sort of stew with vague bits and pieces,
mac and cheese,
bending
substitute.
Out of it like.
It's crackers.
It looks a bit
then,
like macaroni, but it's
no,
not.
So I guess that's my question. Like, would you eat a plate of nachos if
no.
they were made with a cheese that was not actually cheese?
I don't know. I've never tried a fake cheese, but my assumption is, since they're working really hard to make it seem like cheese, that no.
So it's the... but it's not the flavor.
It is the flavor.
But it...
It is the flavor, yeah. The taste of cheese is offensive to me.
So if I could somehow find, like, Doritos powdered cheese and use that on top of a nachos, which would be interesting because if you put them on, why would you remove it from the nacho chips?
This is sort of my question.
Put it back on them.
Wouldn't you just take the Doritos nachos and make a plate of those into nachos?
Haven't you done this before? I feel like you've done this.
No, you've done this before. I haven't done this before. What I did was I took the Doritos, I crushed them up, and I made chicken fingers with them.
This is true.
Yeah.
What is your favorite food?
And I want to specify, too, so I'm going to cut you off with this one. Because you're talking about like this fake cheese substitute, this artificial salty flavor that goes on to Doritos nachos and that kind of thing. Yeah. And to me, that's not... it does, like, because I can register the taste of cheese and what it is, and I can taste it in things like cheesecake, and it's gross.
Daya makes a cheesecake.
No, Daya makes cheese substitute cake.
She welcome to cheese substitute cake. What is even happening now?
It doesn't taste like cheese. Now, the reason I bring this up is because Pringles makes pizza Pringles. I don't know if you've had them.
I have not, actually.
Okay, pizza Pringles, like, I was excited to try those when they first came out. I was like, this is going to be great. This is going to be a fun flavor. It's going to be a little bit of pepperoni, a little bit of tomato, a little bit of fake chip cheese. No, they actually use, like, real cheese flavor on those. Like, okay. They taste, like, really brightly mozzarella.
Okay.
Cannot stand it. It tastes like real cheese to me, and it drives me nuts.
Have you never been a cheese eater?
Never. Literally never.
Now, the thing I find really funny about that is when I met you, I learned that you often have good cheeses in your home.
Yes.
For guests.
Yes.
It is a product that you regularly pick up.
Yeah.
In an effort to please your guests.
Yep.
But something that you yourself do not partake in.
That's correct.
Works too. Cheese is so good. It's so good.
I don't think so at
all. When my wife was pregnant, we went to the Magdalen Islands for a family vacation. And the Magdalen Islands are famous for having this particular cheese called pied de vent.
Foot of the wind?
Foot of the wind. When I Googled it, it actually said windy feet.
That's not better. That's just weirder.
It's really not.
How are your feet today? They're windy.
When we made it to the fromagerie, what we learned is that, you know, when you see rays of sunshine coming through the clouds and you can actually see the actual light, that's an Acadian saying. Pied de vent means footprints on the wind. And it's an Acadian saying for that exact thing because it's God's footprints on the wind.
Okay, see, what I was getting out of it was the wind that comes from feet, i.e. the smell of
feet. If you're going to have a cheese...
That relates to cheese much more, in my opinion.
It does relate to cheese
than
very
the
well.
Footprints of God.
So when we went to get this cheese, my wife was 6 months pregnant, and we got to the Magdalen Islands, and we found out that, like, everywhere on this island has poutine made with pied de vent and burgers made with pied de vent and all this different stuff. And then we found out that it's a raw cheese.
Okay.
And if you're 6 months pregnant, you were not really allowed to eat raw cheese.
I see.
So I had to pretend it wasn't the most delicious thing I've ever eaten in my entire life in front of my wife, taking bites. And when I looked down, the look on my face was pure ecstasy. When I looked up at her, I would just have this look of like, it was all right. It's fine, I guess, if you like that kind of thing. And it was really,
but
really
fantastic.
I thought
she doesn't
cheese.
Like that kind of thing.
Well, she loves cheese.
Really?
And she loves poutine.
I thought you said there was no dairy in your
It's house. Just that she can't have it. So she was going to have it as like sort of a, you know, a treat rather than anything.
Oh, sorry, like a cheat day kind of thing.
Right,
kind
of.
Oh, okay. Cheat and kill your baby day.
Cheat and wow.
I mean, that's, you said, 6 months. I know what it does.
I didn't realize it was going to kill it, but.
It's certainly not going to be very good for it.
It's
to
not
going to
be good for it. No.
Unpasteurized cheese bacteria running around where it can get easy access through the placenta.
I mean, yes. This is true.
Yeah. Things you didn't think we'd be discussing on the food topic. Placentae and umbilicae.
Placenta and umbilicae. Placentae. So. What is your favorite food as a meal food? Like, what is your favorite meal to eat in the whole world?
I like cashew chicken stir fry.
Okay. Now, but you also do not like particularly spicy food,
correct? I like relatively spicy.
But not like a, not a real heat.
Mine's like, shatteringly spicy, no. Like, there's no...
You would never go to have, like, the death wings or anything like that or anything.
No, I mean,
like,
there's just not much point. Like, at that point, you're really just doing, like, some sort of vinegary or oily medium with pure capsaicin in it. It's just, like, there's no flavor here.
Just fire.
Yeah. You're doing this to prove a point to somebody as opposed to enjoy yourself. And
yeah, I sort of feel the same way.
Like,
yeah.
there's nobody I feel the need to sort of preen for that much. Conversely, I love taking people who do have that feeling and introduce them to Blair's Ultra Death Sauce. It's really funny. We have an acquaintance we know, you know who it is, who had the temerity to question the power of my hot sauce after eating a single drop on a hot dog. So I told him all he had to do was put a little bit more on the next time and see whether or not he could handle it. So anyway, I poisoned him with hot sauce, and he spent, I think it was the next, like, 6 hours just puking his guts out. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. We actually took him out of commission at a bachelor party at 5 p.m. because of hot sauce poisoning.
That's pretty impressive, actually.
I was real pleased. You know who it was, right?
It was Roy, was it not?
No, it was not Roy.
Was it Joey?
Yeah.
Oh, well, see, that makes me feel better.
I know. I did get Roy eventually, but...
Yeah, Roy... I feel like Roy was out of commission for something else. So Burger Week, basically, for someone who doesn't really eat those burgers...
Yeah.
...is basically a week where you have to avoid all of the restaurants who are Burger Week restaurants...
Yep.
...because they're lined up out the door...
It's really annoying.
...for burgers.
Yeah.
I went on the very first year that they had the burger bus. Tristan and I went on the burger bus.
Yeah.
Now, here's what it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to go to six places, and at each place, we were going to be given a quarter of a burger and a half a pint of beer. The idea being, okay, by the time we're done, that will be a burger and a half, and... 3 pints of beer.
Okay.
So, gotta make sense. I found it a little bit expensive for what it was, but fine. Really wanted to do it.
Yeah.
So we got to the first restaurant. First restaurant was Crave Burger.
And they're very good.
They're very good. They're probably my favorite burger in the city.
It helps that it's the meat that's good.
It's the meat is so good.
Like, whatever else they want to do after that, that's the meat...
That's the thing, is like, we were talking about this before. One of the reasons I'm not bothering to go to Crave Burger this week to have their Burger Week burger is that every burger they make is fantastic all the time.
Yeah.
I can go next week when Burger Week's over and get any number of great burgers. I get burgers there that have almost no toppings, and it's still, like, I get their...
You do. I do.
Well, I got their bacon and blue cheese.
I got their ketchup and nothing.
Right, and it's fantastic because it's just great meat. So we get to Crave Burger, and Crave gave each person a half a burger and about 3/4 of a pint of beer.
Okay.
So I thought, okay, great. That's even better. And then a photographer came up to me and said, handed me his tray and said, would you like mine? And I was like, yes. But why? Now, the interesting thing about this is he leaned past a bunch of other people to me and was like, hey, tons of fun. I want to give you this.
And I don't know if you're familiar with the principle of magnetism, but beef has lots of iron in it, and you have lots of beef in you, so it just all draws toward the same place.
So I said, sure, I'd love this, but why are you doing this? And he explained that he had lost, in the last year, he had lost 90 pounds.
Whew.
And so he said he was on a very, very strict diet. He was only going to have one burger the whole time that they were out on this thing.
Now, did he say lose or did he say give away? Because I'm pretty sure he put a pound or two on you as a result.
That's true, actually.
Yeah.
So what this meant was that the first stop on our burger bus, I had a full burger and a beer and a half. And then we walked downstairs to rock bottom.
So wait, why was he He was the photographer. Okay, fine.
But they gave him a ticket as part of it, so he could enjoy himself.
He didn't pay for it. Okay, so that's fine. Okay,
right.
Anyway,
so Rock Bottom. We go downstairs, and Rock Bottom gives a mini burger, which is about the size of about a half a burger.
Yeah.
And a plate of fries and a beer.
So now you're in trouble.
And he came over and said, "Would you like mine?" And I was like, "I mean, yes." And so now I've had two burgers and almost three beer. At the next spot we went to, I won the trivia contest on the way there, which meant I got an extra beer. So I had two beers and another full burger at the next place.
Yeah.
Next place was normal, and the last place was now no longer there, the Rogue's Roost.
Oh, yeah.
And at Rogue's Roost, we were basically given a full burger and a giant beer. And then they saw Tristan and I and said, maybe you guys would like more, and gave us more burgers and more beer. So what was supposed to be a three-hour adventure where I had like a burger and a half, maybe two burgers, and three beer, turned into about five hamburgers and almost a dozen beer.
So would you say you got your money's worth out of this trip?
It was fantastic. It was wonderful. But I don't go to Burger Week other than the Burger Bus because I don't have time to just stand in line waiting for a burger or to make a reservation and then wait for an hour for a burger or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And so for me, I kind of feel the same thing. I'm really happy that they do Burger Week and that it works out for a lot of people that they get to do this.
Yeah.
But there's a whole bunch of restaurants that I'm avoiding all week.
Mm.
Now, in total, I would say I'm going to end up having three Burger Week burgers this year.
Okay.
Now, I just, in your living room, had two.
Yep.
I had the Garly Burger, which is named, I don't know why, but the Garly Burger...
Because many things are named. It helps you specify what they are.
I don't know why it's named what it's named. I kind of do. The Garly Burger is a slice of pizza that is done as a garlic finger.
Okay, so that's the Garly.
That's the Garly.
Yeah. Is it a burger?
A bunch of donair meat, donair sauce, and then another slice. So that your bun is basically two slices of garlic fingers.
Okay, so it's emulating a burger. It's a burger substitute, if you will.
It's a burger substitute.
Okay.
It was really, really good. It was King of Donair. I love most things they do. It was really delicious. This week I have to be downtown at one point for a podcast recording, actually. And so I will likely try and grab a quick, 11:30, as soon as stuff opens, burger, before everyone's kind of gotten to it. But I'm the same way. I'll probably avoid Burger Week, because for me, it just doesn't
It gets in the way of what you want to do.
I'm amazed by the people who go. Like, I have friends who have already had 8 or 10 of the Burger Week burgers at all these different places, because that's what they do. And, not having children would probably help immensely with that. but I really like the fact that we have Burger Week. Now, the city has decided that we need a fest or a week for, like, everything we have.
Of course it has.
So...
We have Rib Fest.
We have Rib Fest, and I don't mind Rib Fest.
I mean, at least it's contained. It's in one spot. And you can't get in or do anything useful or ever. No.
Right.
You think about it, and then you're like, wait, I need tickets, and then I need to wait in lines once I get inside. Yeah. It's insane.
The thing I would like about Rib Fest is the experience to try all the different styles.
Yeah.
Like, I would like to try the Carolinas, and I'd like to try the various
things. But you just don't get to.
Not really.
No.
Here's the one that really blew me away this year. There is an Oyster Fest.
There was a what now?
There was an Oyster Fest.
So for the 12
people that think oysters are something you should put in your mouth, there is a festival where different places around the city have...
Have the ability to help you poison yourself with unpleasant sea bug?
Have you ever had an oyster?
No.
Okay.
Why would I do that to myself?
So this last...
Why would anyone do that to them? Have you ever had an oyster?
I have had an oyster.
Why?
Because
it's an aphrodisiac? And you needed that?
No, I was with Jack. I was with my son.
Okay, so I really hope you didn't.
I did not need that. No, I was at the public library, at the Central Library.
Why were they there?
They had this.
Why would you need an aphrodisiac at the public library?
They had this food festival.
Oh, is that what they're calling it now?
In the O'Regan Hall. And so people were making all these different foods, and they had different stuff you make. So there was a place doing sauerkraut, which is also garbage you put in your mouth. There was a place they were doing a whole bunch of stuff. But anyways, at one point
I have to ask you not to badmouth sauerkraut. Because then I won't have anything bad to say about it.
There's a whole bunch of food that I think I might like more if my grandfather hadn't ruined it. So my grandfather
ruined it in which way? Because there's many ways. Like, he could have just burst in on you while you were eating sauerkraut and been like, I'm going to tell you why you're a bad person with this shovel and chase you around with a shovel.
No, but I will tell you a funny story about that when you talk about bursting in. So my
end badly.
No, a good friend of mine, Pat, who you've
welcome
met,
to Mostly Tangents.
Have you met Pat before?
Yes.
You've met Pat, haven't you? Yeah. So Pat's father one time.
Yeah.
I was staying over at Pat's house, and we were staying up late watching like SNL or something.
Yeah.
And there was a commercial for a Hunt for Red October video game.
Okay.
And
you forgot to say the Hunt for Red October video game.
The Hunt for Red October video game.
Don't you hate that I made you do that?
I really do. I hate, you know what I hate more than the fact that you made me do it? The
fact that I'm right?
That I did it. So there was this ad for the Hunt for Red October video game. And the video game looked quite bad. And so
I think you mean the Hunt for Red October video game.
The video game looked really bad. So we were joking about it, and Pat's father came upstairs from his bedroom and berated us and told us that we were not allowed to ever watch the movie The Hunt for Red October or read the book The Hunt for Red October due to the disrespect we had shown for that video game. And to this day, I have no idea why that happened. As it's a running joke. It's like, remember that time your dad came upstairs and yelled at us about Tom Clancy video games?
Wow. I just think of all the times I've watched that movie. And like, how many times have you watched that movie?
I mean, it would be probably under 10, but probably not by much.
Okay, so do you think you were more or less than me?
I would guess more.
Yeah.
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 How many times did you watch? Did you? You've never seen this movie, have you?
Yes, I have not.
Oh my god, I hate you. Although I will say, I got you better last week when I talked about a Catherine Bigelow movie that you had never seen. Which went by the name of Point Break.
I wish I'd never seen it.
You haven't, so it's fine.
Go me.
So, what were we saying before this ridiculous tangent?
It was about food.
It was about food. It's about
sauerkraut. Oysters.
It's about sauerkraut and oysters. Yeah. So
oysters at the public library. That's where you need an aphrodisiac, widely available.
So they did this stuff and I asked Jack if he wanted to have one.
What is wrong with you? That's your 5-year-old son.
I wanted him to learn at 5 that oysters are garbage.
There's a song about that. They put it on public broadcast. Don't you put it in your mouth. You've heard this song.
Might look good to eat like a muffin or a bean.
Yeah, but it might also look bad to eat.
That's true.
And that's
it the
one that tells you really,
really
just don't put that
eat.
In your mouth.
It doesn't. So anyways, he had one. And I had one. And it was not
good.
As bad.
It was not good.
Just listen.
Fine.
It was not as bad as the worst thing I could possibly imagine, but it was not that far off. It was pretty horrific.
Yeah.
And I will never again have an oyster. And I don't know why we need an oyster fest. I'm okay with rib fest.
Well,
because
apparently there's a lot of stupid people that need to find out about oysters and that you shouldn't put them in your mouth.
Well, there's with ribs, you're like, okay, well, there's all kinds of different ways to do ribs. There's dry rubs, and there's this, and there's that. But oysters, I'm like, what is this, an oyster?
I'm going to put lemon and oil on it, or I'm going to put lime and oil on it.
There's a couple
different
ways that you could do it, but, like, in general, it's just, you know.
But, I mean, like, you know, you got the people in South Korea who has a delicacy. They'll have, like, cut up fresh live baby squid. And they're like, the tentacles are still writhing and the suckers are still going when it goes down your throat.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is food that could try and kill me on its way down.
Yes.
I'm fine with this. You know, like, there's all sorts of deranged dishes out there. But the thing for me, I'm just like, look, the oyster was hard to get to.
Yes.
It was defended by a shell.
Yes.
It gave up a valuable in the hopes that you wouldn't decide the rest of it was good for something.
Uh-huh.
The rest of it doesn't look edible, doesn't smell edible, and tastes like garbage.
And you have to almost stab yourself every time you're trying to get it out.
How on earth did we decide, oh, we're definitely going to keep doing this?
Food is really interesting to me in general, in terms of the various things that have become staples of our world that don't make any sense that we ever discovered this.
Well, this is the thing. Like,
cheese is a prime example.
I understand how cheese happened. And the thing is...
How do you understand how cheese happened?
Because we live in a climate that is really suited to, for lack of a better word, yogurtification.
Sure.
Okay? Now, if you ever leave out some milk, it'll get yogurtified. That can happen.
Here's why it's weird that ever happened. Milk is not found on a tree.
Yes, it is.
It does not grow... Coconut? Is that where you're going with that one?
I mean, sure, why not? Milk, now. I really just wanted to confuse them.
Milk is not found on a tree. It's not grown in a field.
I mean, arguably it is.
You have to take it out of an animal in a really...
I think it's a lot easier way overall than how you take meat out of an animal. I'm just saying.
I mean, sure. But
I feel like a hamburger. Come here, cow.
Meat makes... Like, there. At some point, there was one... weird person who was
okay, look, it's not that you've seen the calves, you've seen what the calves are doing, you understand that there's a liquid coming out there, and you think to yourself, well, obviously they're eating, because you do that too. The babies do that too.
There's lots of things. I've watched a monkey pull shit out of its ass and throw it. I've never thought, well, that's probably a good thing to do. The monkey seems to be doing fine.
Here's the thing. I know you're lying. I know you've thought that on at least one occasion. Anyway.
But it just...
But no, I'm going to wind you back to, like, cheese. I don't have a problem with the concept that people figured out cheese. Like, I'm just,
I don't
like,
mind they figured out cheese.
No, I'm like...
I have a problem they figured out milk.
No, I don't have a problem with that either. Because we make milk. I mean, not you and I.
We don't.
No.
We do not.
No, but I mean,
sir.
Like, we, humanity.
Yes.
Yeah, we got that. And, like, we can recognize, okay, that's the same behavior over there and over there and over there.
Sure.
And, you know, we have bred animals with the idea of, well, let's get more of that.
Like animals made of bread?
Yes, absolutely. That's exactly where I was going with that.
We have
good job.
Bread animals.
Absolutely. We call them animal crackers. They're made of arrowroot.
That's a good point, actually.
Yes, indeed. But, you know, like, we have goat milk, and we have cow milk, of course, and
soy milk?
Oh, yes, from the dreaded wild soy.
From the wild
that
soy.
That runs wild and free in the slopes of Mongolia. Get back here, thou vile miso. yes, but... I have no problem with milk, no. What I have a problem with is places where they've gone, you know what would be really great is if we did this one particular thing. Like, the one that gets me is Casu Marzu.
Okay.
Are you familiar with Casu Marzu?
I'm not.
Okay, so this is a thing on, it's either Sicily or Sardinia. I want to say it's Sicily. Because I feel like it's just so silly that...
No one's going to fact check it.
Well, I mean, I could, but I'm not going to.
You could, but...
Casu Marzu is a particular kind of fermented cheese. That goes through a very unusual process, and then gets eaten by idiots. Now, it's not legal for export, or really for transport. Like, you have to go to where they make it to eat it.
Okay.
Because the government's just like, no, we read what that is. No!
We don't think anyone should have this. If you want to go there and eat it, fine, but that's like, it.
Knock it off.
How do they?
So it's held and stored in natural chambers. So it's kind of exposed to the elements and you know, just natural heating, natural cooling.
Yeah.
They bring the cheese in, and it's the raw unpasteurized cheese.
Okay.
And they put it in this room, and the room is the nesting ground of a particular kind of fly. And the fly, you know where I'm going with this yet?
Yeah, I got a pretty good idea.
Okay, so the fly lays its eggs in the cheese.
Yeah.
Because the cheese, of course, starts to rot.
Right.
And the rotting cheese, the flies are like, oh, that's perfect. That's where we'll go.
Yep.
So the flies lay their eggs there, and the eggs hatch into maggots.
Right.
And the maggots eat the cheese, and they excrete, you know, digested, rotted cheese.
Yeah.
And Kasumerzu is the partially digested, rotted, excreted maggot cheese, which is best eaten, they say, without killing the maggots, so that it's jumpy.
Oh my good God.
Now you know that, and you don't get to unknow that.
I think, I actually think I knew that before.
Yes, like, but your
I
brain tried to like delete
I,
it.
I, yeah, my brain did try and delete it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, there's the coffee. What is it? The Kepaleuk or Kepaleuk or whatever?
What are you trying to say?
Say it again. It's the coffee that is...
Oh, the Civic Cat coffee.
The Civic Cat coffee.
Yeah.
Where they it shits out the bean.
Yeah.
And then they make the coffee out of that because it makes it better coffee. There had to have been someone.
I mean, who I'm was pretty like, sure it's the natives at that point that are just going, you know, I bet we could pitch this to them. They're so stupid. They're incredibly dumb.
That cat ate all of our coffee. I think we're not going to have a crop this year. Wait, I have an idea. Why don't we sell them that?
You know, I was reading this thing because they had these articles about like the grossest foods from around the world. Yeah. You know, like Chinese century egg, for example.
Yeah.
Or the ones that they're like, they, and this is true, they literally like cook them in the urine of young boys. I don't know why.
But the
one that always got me was balut, in terms of all the egg-based dishes.
Yeah.
You know balut?
I don't.
Okay, so...
But I can't wait to have nightmares for the rest of this week.
Oh, this is pretty nightmarish, because like... There's a distinguishing feature.
We got here from Burger Week, I know. By the way. Last week we got to Nazis from...
We did. I feel real accomplished about that.
Books or whatever it was.
Oscars.
Oscars, yeah.
The Oscars, yeah.
We got there from Oscars.
Balut. So 99% of all the egg-based dishes in the world have one thing in common. Even the horrifying Chinese ones that I was talking about that involve like the buried in lye egg or yeah. the you know cooked in young boy urine egg, which is still a thing. But 99% of them have one trait in common regarding the eggs they use.
The egg is unfertilized.
That is the distinguishing feature.
Yeah.
Yes. Balut is the opposite of that.
Oh.
You are eating a partially developed bird inside its egg. Like, have you ever heard that French concept of the ortolan, that game bird that you eat whole, right? And you have to, like, veil your head because it's an offense against God. Yeah, this is that, but worse, because it's just...
It's...
Yeah.
It's like the worst Kinder surprise you've ever had.
Yeah.
I just... Which... Sorry, go ahead.
They changed that. They changed it, huh? They're trying to develop this new thing
was
for...
Was it you that was telling me about this the other
day? Yeah, because I tried it. And I was like, this is dumb.
Yeah.
Why not just keep not selling to the Americans? They can keep not knowing what they're missing.
Yeah.
They're just going to find a new way to lock good chocolate out of there. They'll be like, well, this still is bad for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah. Call it freedom chocolate or something.
I don't know. Anyway, but you say you're saying you feel...
So I just think that... Like, I generally...
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of those stupid eggs you made me eat... With the exception of those eggs, I generally think that the food we eat should be just good. Like, it should just be like, you should just eat it because it tastes good, and not because you think it's an interesting thing to eat. Like, I don't generally, there's nothing that I've ever thought, I should eat that because it's different. I generally am like, I will eat something different if it's good, but yeah. I won't just eat something just to be like, well, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, and I'm willing to try a lot of new, like, I get mocked a lot, and I always have been for how many things constantly. I don't like.
Yeah.
Right? Like, but the thing I always say is, like, I will try anything new.
Right.
Right? Like, if somebody comes to me and is like, I want you to try fermented tofu skins, I'll be like, sure, let's go for it.
Right.
See what it's like. It's the stuff that I know I don't like that I'm just not going to go back to. There's no point, right? I'm not going to be like, oh, okay, you put curry in the mayonnaise. That's going to make the mayonnaise much better. The mayonnaise that I don't like. That
are
mayonnaise.
You calling it mayonnaise?
Yeah.
Like a man? Ace?
Am I being mocked for my pronunciation now?
Mayonnaise.
Fine. Mayonnaise.
There you go.
You happy now?
I'm happier.
Yeah. You know, it's like cheese. I don't need to eat more or different cheese. I don't need to be like, okay, well, I haven't had Limburger yet. Let's go out on a Limburger.
No one who doesn't like cheese is just going to be like, oh, finally I had cheese curds. Yeah. Like, that's not... That's not something that happens.
Like, I'm not going to go back to a type of food that I know I don't like and try it again. But if I'm presented something new, I am going to try and broaden my horizons.
And that taste buds do change over time.
Sure.
Like, there are things I didn't eat before that I do eat now that I enjoy.
I can think of an example, actually, from relatively recently.
Okay.
They're little marshmallow eggs that are covered in a colorful candy shell, and they're the worst.
So, what are they called? Do you know what they're called?
I call them panned eggs, because not Best Buy, what's the other one? The one that doesn't sell computers? Because
when I go to Best Buy to buy televisions and Easter eggs...
You buy multiple televisions at a time at Best Buy?
Costco...
The one that's like Costco, but yellow. And older.
Bulk Barn.
That's the one. Costco, but yellow and older. Bulk Barn.
Best Buy, but Costco, but yellow and older.
So they call them panned eggs. That's an ad for Bulk Barn now.
Okay. They are basically just sugar.
Yes.
Wrapped in a sugared coating.
Yes.
Which may or may not be plastic.
I'm pretty sure plastic is more digestible.
100% more. So you came over the other day and you had a bag of these things.
I did.
And I had a couple. and I immediately, like, upon biting them, I was like, this isn't good. Like, this immediately makes me feel awful.
It's basically what knowing you're harming yourself tastes like as a food.
Yeah.
Like, that's the experience.
And then, luckily for me,
yeah,
I only ate an additional, I believe we settled on 28.
No, it was more than that.
Because I had 30 total, I thought.
No, you had two-thirds of the bag. So, whatever two-thirds of 50 is. 33. Yeah.
So, I ate 33 of these things, and then just felt awful. Like, just miserable. But I would eat, like, I would literally put them aside, yeah, push them over to you.
At one point, you were like, I am definitely done now.
Do not let me have any more of these. And then I ate 8 more.
I don't know if you're familiar with this fact. My listeners, some of them certainly will be, but I am in fact an evil sorcerer.
100%. Yep.
And these are my dark works. Look upon them in despair.
It was just awful.
Now,
it was horrific.
But you learned from this experience, right? Because when we had game night this past week and I had
you
a bag
brought
there,
panned eggs.
You definitely didn't eat any more
of
those.
I ate another.
Too many.
8, probably. I literally was like eating them and saying to myself, I was saying out loud, I don't want to do this. Like, I don't... It was like Jessica Jones being controlled by Kilgrave and being like, I don't want to do the thing I am doing. I know I don't want to do this, and yet I'm just doing it again and again. It was awful. What is your favorite treat? Like, so not meal, so... We got your favorite meal is cashew chicken. What's your favorite?
This is one of these things where, you know, I can't do slicey, but... because there's obviously multiple different categories of treat. Like, I could have said even multiple different categories of meal and not just done the cashew chicken.
Sure.
But, I mean, cashew chicken is really solid to the point that if I have cashew chicken and rice, I could be in cruise control for a solid week and just be like, I'm not getting tired of this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still pretty happy to be doing this.
Sure.
Treat, because there's subjective things, right? There's, like, there's candy, where my favorite one is Nerd's Rope.
Nerd's Rope?
It's Nerds. So, Nerds. That was really helpful when I said, you know, it's tautological. Nerds, the little crunchy, hard candies.
What I really like about you is that this is a podcast, an audio presentation.
Yeah.
And the amount of times that you try to physically show me what you're talking about is fantastic. It really is. And the best part is that, like, he mimed the word nerds with one hand by just fluttering his fingers across in front. They're like nerds. Like, you know, like I can imagine I was playing an invisible flute. Just woodoo 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 woodoo.
I mean, the thing is, and you have to know, you understood me, though.
I mean, the thing
so
is,
it worked.
I understood nerds already when you said nerds like nerds and then played an invisible flute for the listeners at home.
So bringing this back.
Bring it back.
Yes. So nerds, which I've been...
Nerds.
Yes.
Which we've described as invisible flutes.
which are crusted onto a strand of licorice.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's a rope. It's a licorice rope.
Right.
And it's just covered in nerds. And it's a perfect harmony of, like, sticky, chewy, and this crunchy, sweet and sour goodness that nerds are.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Okay.
And you just feel like such garbage while you're eating them, but at the same time, you just don't care.
Right.
It's amazing. It's like panned eggs. If you didn't hate yourself while you're doing it, you're literally going, I know this is just excessively stupid candy.
Right.
But it's 100% glee, as opposed to the, like, 99% self-hate and 1%... This is like cocaine.
I don't even know why I kept doing it.
I know.
It was every single bite was me going, don't, don't, don't. Mine would probably be dulce de leche ice cream.
Nice. Because I have, because I was saying, like, that was candy.
Sure.
Right? Like, what is your favorite candy?
My favorite candy?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm a big fan of Nibs.
Just like simple,
rope, like the licorice.
Oh, like the long
nibs.
Like
the full-length nibs. Super nibs is, I believe, what they're called.
Oh, okay.
You
have bad taste, sir.
Nibs might be my favorite. I have bad taste because I like licorice. You have good taste because you like licorice covered in nerds.
Yes.
Which are... nerds.
He's doing the hand gesture.
I am doing the hand gesture.
It's not really funny. Well. Okay, but dessert. Like, I like tiramisu. I think tiramisu is just fantastic.
You know what? Sticky toffee pudding would probably be my...
Nice.
My
and the other thing dessert. Is, I am a sucker for a blueberry pie. A good blueberry pie.
A good blueberry pie.
So not like those store-bought ones where it's just sort of blueberry-flavored mush in the middle, but like...
There is actually... Sobeys, I think, sells it. Caramel apple pie. It is... I'm more of a caramel guy than a chocolate guy.
Okay.
I never really knew why. Like, I've always liked butterscotch, caramel, any of those flavors. And I've never been a huge chocolate guy. And I mentioned this to my mom one day, and
she said... Have you had chocolate?
She's that makes me a huge chocolate guy.
By definition.
I was like, my mom was explaining that my mom doesn't really love chocolate. So growing up, any desserts and stuff always had caramel or butterscotch or whatever. I will actually say that my favorite dessert is a dessert that my wife's mother makes or used to make.
Oh, so it's like carrot cake without the cake.
No, not at all. My wife's mother makes the most rich...
It's sugar-free candy apples. So they're just apples on a stick.
Just apples with a popsicle stick in them.
It's not a popsicle stick, because that might have some lingering sugars left on it
somehow. These are not the things that my mother-in-law makes. My mother-in-law actually... Well, every year my mother-in-law makes crack.
Yes.
I've
had it. It's wonderful.
Which is fantastic.
I make fun because they make sugar-free ketchup,
and it's just a garbage concept. But
she makes some absolutely deliriously fun Christmas goodies.
Yeah.
I've had the privilege, and I'm just so happy.
100%. The thing that she used to make, which she doesn't anymore, is ice cream with, like, a coating that I think is made with cornflakes.
Okay.
Sits on top of it. And then it has, and then you drizzle caramel on top of that.
Oh, okay.
And it's unbelievable. Like, it is the best thing. sticky toffee pudding, that, caramel apple pie. I like a lot of caramel stuff, so, you know.
You know what's really good, actually? We had it sort of as the dessert portion of a Polynesian celebration was pineapple slices drizzled with caramel.
Interesting.
Fresh pineapple, right? So it wasn't cooked in or anything.
Yeah,
it was just drizzled with a thin, and it was a really thin syrupy caramel sauce. So not like a thick globby one like you put on ice cream, but oh my word, that was great.
Well, those are flavors that would kind of really go...
I don't know that you'd necessarily think that at the outset. Like, apple is a little bit more mild, and the caramel kind of it brings out something in it. Pineapple is a very bright, forward flavor.
Apple is really a boring flavor.
I
that that you add caramel to for most apples. I mean, most apples are a pretty...
I guess I have to say it depends on what you're doing with it. Because if you have something like an apple crisp, that really brings out the apple nicely.
Right, but it brings out the apple because of the cinnamon and the oats and that kind of stuff.
Really, yeah, but this is what I'm saying. It's like it complements it and it brings out the good.
But it's really what you're... If you took out most of the apple from an apple crisp,
I say this as somebody who has made a non-apple crisp. There's a big difference.
As in a crisp that would, did it have something else in it, or you just left out the apples?
Yeah, I didn't just make, you know, cinnamon, butter, sugar, oat crumble.
That'd be delicious.
I would like to disagree with you, but I once actually did do that and served it at breakfast where you could stir it in with applesauce, and it was just like, this is great.
Yeah.
No, it was pretty good, but I mean, like, that would be kind of dry and redundant very quickly.
Sure, yeah.
I know this for a fact.
I did that. I just think, like...
But yeah, I made a strawberry crisp.
Okay.
I don't know why strawberry, like, that was a really unusual pick.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, it... did not work. I mean, it was.
Did you use cinnamon?
Yeah.
Those are two flavors that don't work together at all.
Yeah.
Well, that's why it didn't work.
No, it also didn't work
flavors that don't.
No, it also didn't work because what was there to complement with the oats and the brown sugar element as well? That's not really what resonates with strawberries as a flavor profile. 100%. And I mean, the idea of, because the way you do a crisp, of course, we have the crust on top and you bake it and you're baking down this strawberry core, that doesn't really work either. It was fine.
I think you could make a really good strawberry crisp with ingredients it's different than
okay, well, what cinnamon. Would you do? What would you do? What goes in instead of cinnamon? Tell me what the magic secret is. Silence is really good for a podcast.
Silence is really super helpful for a podcast. I think you could actually go with white sugar instead of brown sugar.
Okay.
And I would probably go with a little bit of a cocoa powder in the oats. And
you know, I would make it instead of oats,
chocolate
actually.
Strawberry crisp.
You know what you could do instead of oats, though? You could actually take some sort of, like, light, fluffy cake.
If you're just going to describe strawberry shortcake, I'm going to punch you in the face. So, my thing that I was going to say about the pineapple thing is that what I've learned over time is that acid and sugar actually work quite well together.
Absolutely.
Like they're quite a playful flavor with
pineapple
it,
so. Is already a very sugary thing.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. It's the caramel, oddly enough, in this actually serves to mellow it out a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But the result, like, you really just have to try it.
That's
because it was, in terms of figuring out, like, what your dessert was going to be for Polynesian food.
Yeah.
You're going, no.
So to,
nothing.
To go along with that, so speaking of, you're just going to have to try it. Recently, a new ice cream company came to Canada. called Halo Top Creamery.
Now, was this the one that was brought in by that conglomerate from Quebec?
I have no
idea.
The
religious conglomerate? The Covenant Ice Cream?
You're the worst. So, Halo Top Creamery is a popular American ice cream brand that specializes in low-calorie ice cream.
But my understanding is that the supply has been just... very hard to find.
It's super hard to find.
Like, rather than being a steady flow in, there's been a trickle rather than, say, a flood.
Which I think has actually...
A flood of Halo.
A flood of Halo.
Yes, a flood coming of the Halo.
People are going to the store 2x2 to try and get it. So, what's been really interesting, actually, is first off... Stop. They get like a decent sized shipment in, and it's just gone immediately. Like, people are buying it so fast.
Yeah.
The flavors of this particular ice cream are a little bit odd. Some of them make sense.
Okay.
They're pretty normal. There's peanut butter swirl. There's candy bar, which is basically just chocolate and peanuts. There's caramel macchiato, still relatively normal.
What the hell is macchiato, anyway? Isn't it just coffee?
It's coffee.
And we're being snide about
specific, it's a specific type of blend of coffee. Like, it's a way to make it, really, more than anything else. It's like a latte, but it's not a latte.
So, if you're not actually making it, but instead just infusing its flavor in ice cream, isn't that just coffee?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just caramel coffee ice cream. And then they have
That's not a combo I like.
Then they have some odd flavors.
Okay.
So, the one that I had that was not so fantastic.
Yeah.
Was pancakes and waffles.
Now, what? Why?
Pancake and waffles.
No. Because we have to. No. Back up here. Because here's the problem. You didn't say pancake and syrup. You didn't say waffle and syrup.
Right.
You didn't even say, like, chicken and waffle, which pancakes, I would have tried that. Pancakes I wouldn't have and been waffles. Impressed. Pancakes. Okay, so you know waffles. What we wanted to top this doughy confection with, this fried one? An unfried doughy confection.
Now, there's essentially no...
So, like, a breaded, flavorless flop.
But there's no bits in it. It's the flavor, not necessarily
It's the lack of... This is my point. I hate pancakes, by the way.
Well, here's the thing, though. When they say pancakes and syrup...
When
they say pancakes and waffles, what they mean is pancakes and syrup and waffles and syrup.
What they made...
was syrup ice cream. It's actually cloyingly sweet. Like, it's actually too sweet.
But wait. It just tastes like syrup. Or is it just like Aunt Jemima syrup?
It tastes more like syrup than maple syrup.
Corn syrup.
Yeah, it has a real strong syrup-flavored
ice cream.
Yeah.
That's not pleasant.
That wasn't pleasant at all.
Mind you, neither are pancakes.
The real surprise was oatmeal cookie.
That sounds good, though.
Oatmeal cookie was delicious.
Yeah.
As an ice cream. Like, it was...
I love it.
It's perfection. The really interesting thing about this particular company, not that they had to do it this way for me, is that when you take off the lid, they have a little gold foil...
and you get to go to their factory and find out how all their candy's made.
No, Charlie. So, they have this little foil thing you have to peel off.
Yes.
That has a message for you on it. And they all say different things. And basically, part of Halo Top's advertising message is, don't put this in a bowl. It's about a quarter of the calories, or maybe a third of the calories, of, say, a Häagen-Dazs.
Okay.
So basically what they're saying is, just eat this small carton of ice cream.
What, whole?
Don't get a bowl.
I feel like now I understand why they sell out.
They literally say things on it. They literally say things on their lid like, you don't need a bowl, you just need a spoon.
Well, what about a cone?
And
ice cream is for cones.
Ice cream is not for cones.
Ice cream is definitely for cones.
Ice cream is not for cones.
Ever.
Maybe a waffle cone.
Oh, you're a dirty human being.
You like the styrofoam?
Absolutely.
I like it from a nostalgia standpoint, maybe, but
I do not like the taste of a waffle cone. I hate the taste of a waffle.
I love the taste of a waffle cone. Do you like waffles?
Sometimes-ish.
Do you like...
I haven't had a waffle in probably 6 or 7 years.
You should get waffles.
I really am okay with not having them.
Do it, man. They're delicious.
The reason to get waffles is if the alternative was pancakes.
That's fair.
Because pancakes are bad.
I disagree. I like pancakes.
Do you?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
Because they're basically cakes devoid of fun.
Well, then you cover them in syrup.
So you like
or sugar.
So you like syrup.
I like syrup and sugar delivery systems.
Okay, but my point is there's better sugar and syrup delivery systems.
Like what?
Halo Top ice cream.
This is a good point. The thing that I thought was really interesting about Halo Top ice cream is I didn't see them doing any real advertising for it. Their advertising was just people going to buy it, and they did a really good organic marketing where it was just
if you make
total
a good product,
word of mouth that kind of sold it.
Now, mind you, I'm wondering if this turns out to be like, do you ever see that Seinfeld episode with the frozen yogurt?
No.
And everybody was, okay, well, or what was the other... There was a thing like Oikos Greek yogurt or Chobani. That's what it is. I'm thinking of Chobani.
Yeah.
Where they were touting like it was a low fat yogurt or something like that, and everybody was rushing to it and being like, "Oh my god, this is really tasty yogurt, and it's low fat.
Right.
And then it was, oh, it's low fat because they loaded it with sugar. That's how they did it.
Right.
You know, and I'm wondering if this might be one of those things
stuff,
where... This
stuff, I mean, when you look at the ingredients list, it's first off some pretty natural ingredients, most of them, compared to most of what I see.
And I believe it.
And the content stuff is okay on it. They use...
As long as they don't go the way of Breyers, we'll be okay. But,
they're quite good.
Well, you know what happened to Breyers, right?
No.
Okay, well, you know Breyers, the brand of ice cream?
Yes.
Okay. Breyers used to market itself on the basis of this concept. Their ice cream contained the following ingredients. Milk, eggs, flavor, sugar.
Right.
What was the flavor? Probably vanilla or chocolate. But that's what was in there.
Yeah.
Like, four-ingredient ice cream.
Yeah.
Like, you were getting that. And people loved it. People loved the natural stuff. And then they decided that they wanted to increase their profit margins. And they started cutting stuff.
Right.
Now, there's a fact about ice cream, which is that ice cream has to have, in order to be enjoyable, a certain amount of air in it.
Okay.
Okay? Like, it just that's what gives it that fluffy, creamy quality. Otherwise, what you have is, you know, ice brick.
Right.
Because it's just dense and...
Yeah.
That's what like, when you refreeze melted ice cream, that's what you get.
Yeah.
And it's horrible. So there has to be some air into it, aeration, in order to create that creamy fluffiness. Now, an ideal ratio is probably around, believe it or not, 50% air to ingredients.
Okay.
So a lot of what you're getting isn't actually the ingredients. You're literally paying for air. But you're paying for air that's been put in there to a certain
really
ratio.
Good air.
Yeah. Like delicious air doing air. A good job.
Right.
And the thing is that up to a certain percentage of air inclusion, you can actually still call your product ice cream. And I think it's actually about 100%. You can literally double the volume of your ingredients with air and still call it ice cream.
Okay.
Breyers, and this was true as of about 5 years ago, was still marketing themselves as four-ingredient ice cream. Currently, if you are going through the ice cream aisle... Right, you're seeing like Scott's Burn ice cream, you're seeing President's Choice ice cream, you're not seeing Halo Top ice cream because you can't find any, ha ha ha. But you'll eventually stumble upon Breyers, because Breyers has a section there. And Breyers is labeled frozen dessert product.
And I think Halo Top is actually technically labeled as the same.
Yeah. Now, that doesn't surprise me because they're low calorie.
Right.
So they might have had to cut out some of the things that make it ice cream.
Right.
Because an ice cream has to be based on custard, has to have a certain amount of air in it. Breyers not only changed that whole four ingredient thing to as many, like they are now the biggest ingredient list in that section.
Yeah.
They also put so much air in the product that they are no longer legally allowed to call what they do ice cream.
Wow.
And I'm just kind of like, your whole marketing point was that you're not the guys who do this.
Right.
What the hell?
Well, I think, you know, in their case, and we should probably wrap this up in a second, but in their case, I think they probably get away with it to a certain extent because...
I feel like they don't,
still
though.
Sort of have name recognition.
Yes and no, though, because one, again, you like, if you can sell ice cream, you put that right there. You're like, ice cream. This is Breyers. Yep. And I'm kind of like, that's iffy because if you can't actually put what you're trying to be on the, you know, it's like if you're saying chocolate flavored, you know, or
chocolate
simulation or
simulated chocolate
or,
candy
say
bar.
Cheese substitute, for example, bring it back to the point. There we go.
Yeah.
Then you've really kind of failed. And I think that the fact that things like Halo Top can come in now that occupy the same market niche where it's frozen dessert product. And it's like, okay, well, this is frozen dessert product because it's low calorie, and they've cut down on the actual cream and custard content in it, as opposed to this is frozen dessert product because we're cheap and extremely artificial.
Well, it's funny because, you know, we talked, you know, bringing this all the way back around to Burger Week.
There were, that's where it did start.
There were some people that were sort of like, okay, some of these burgers, how is that a burger? Like, for example, the burger I had tonight, the Garly Burger, was criticized as being not a burger. The suggestion was, it's not a burger. And what someone eventually said, as we kind of talked about it, was a burger has at least three layers, two of which are the same. That's what they said.
No.
Well.
No, because that's, no, because otherwise you got like that's a sandwich.
Sure.
Yeah. Is a turkey sandwich a burger?
It's a turkey burger.
No, but I mean like a sliced deli meat turkey sandwich.
No.
So
there's obviously more that has to go to it.
Exactly.
But
saying,
their
like,
point was like there was, for example, the big argument was a place that has it on a sausage bun.
Sure.
But is like, you know.
Now, I've actually had a burger from the Dogfather on a hot dog bun.
Sure.
It's still a burger. He sliced
it. Is it a burger?
Too. Yeah. I think what really matters is what's in between. I think that in order to be a burger, and it's funny because Stephen Colbert actually had Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg commenting on the definition of a sandwich and making her official ruling on that. But I think to be a burger, it has to have a patty. I think that's the big thing. It has to have a patty, and the bread that you're using has to have an outer coating
right.
of some kind.
Yep.
Because my father, bless his heart, he's terrible with food and putting together food, and would always argue to us, he'd be like, I've got two slices of bread here, right out of a loaf, and I'm going to put them around the patty, and that's a hamburger. Eat your hamburger. And I'd be like, if I hold this the way I would hold a hamburger, I'm going to be gripping the beef soon. I'm going to be gripping, like, ketchup-sogging beef.
So you don't think that two pieces of white bread...
No, because they're not going to leave the... Like, to have a burger, you have to have a sandwich with some degree of grippable integrity. Is my thing. Like, if you have a hot dog bun, where the hot dog bun at least is going to keep some sort of cohesion and shape, and a hot dog bun is able to store toppings. So toppings don't soak through the bread, but, like, two pieces of, like, white bread.
Yeah.
Conventional white bread. If you put patty, and you put a tomato, and you put some ketchup and mustard, whatever.
Sure.
And you grip that, and you try to eat it, you are going to be pushing your fingers through soft bread, soft, moist, soggy bread into... gunk. You're going to be holding meat.
Yeah. But I think that if that burger patty was a legit burger patty and all the toppings are legit burger toppings...
But anything is a legit burger.
Well, okay, that's fair. But what I mean is really the patty. If that's a burger patty, if I bought a burger and I cooked that hamburger...
But if you had it without bread, would it be a burger?
Yeah.
But you're not having a burger. You're having a hamburger patty. There's
I'm
a difference.
Having a hamburger.
No, you're not. You're having a hamburger patty.
Can you look up, while we're talking about this, can you look up the definition of a hamburger?
Fine. I'll do that. I was looking up Halo Top ingredients.
I saw that. So
it was actually interesting, by the way.
So, I mean, I think in general, you're probably not far off. What does it say? What's the dictionary definition of a hamburger?
A round patty of ground beef, fried or grilled. I like they put grilled in there.
Okay.
And typically served on a bun or roll and garnished with various condiments.
So
the bread is an important component of this because...
Typically.
Yes.
Typically
but
served.
It doesn't
typically
go on,
says,
but
I don't have to do that part.
Okay, but that's one dictionary definition. Let's try...
Sure, but that's the dictionary. And the dictionary actually says... Now, to be fair, what we really should be looking at is burger. Because hamburger...
Here's Merriam-Webster.
All right.
So, Merriam-Webster, and this is hamburger.
Okay.
A sandwich consisting of a patty of hamburger in a split, typically round, bun.
Okay.
So, the bun shape is here up
that
the base.
Is...
So, we could have a square
now,
bun.
Say that again one time.
A sandwich consisting of a patty of hamburger in a split, typically round, bun.
So it is split.
Yes.
Typically round, not typically split round.
Yes.
Okay. Look up just burger.
Just burger. Okay.
Burger.
Okay, this is going to give me like German for a person from a town. I'm not wrong. Definition of a burger. Here we go.
Yeah.
Short for hamburger. Or, and this is the one you want, I think, here, a particular variation of a hamburger with additional or substitute ingredients. Now, I'm going to argue, and you may argue against me,
You're going to argue wrong, but go ahead.
Well, by definition, I never argue wrong.
Well, by definition, you often argue wrong.
My arguments are always structured correctly.
Correct.
Yes. Therefore, I never argue wrong. Anyway, I'm going to argue that the bread component of the burger is not an ingredient.
And I wouldn't either.
Okay, well,
but
that's fine.
That,
sorry, I was going to argue right then. Suck it.
But that definition...
Yes.
...is based on the definition that it's typically served on a bun.
That one doesn't say typical.
Is it from, is it...
All right, well, let's take from, let's go from Merriam-Webster. Go from Merriam-Webster, okay. Then. A sandwich similar to a hamburger.
That's it?
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't disagree.
Dictionary.com, let's try this one. All right. A food patty, or patty on a bun, containing ingredients other than beef. So this is definition two. Definition one being a hamburger. So we'd have to go back to...
No, that one does say on a bun.
Okay, and this one, a sandwich consisting of a cooked patty of ground or chopped beef, usually in a roll or bun, variously garnished.
Usually.
Yeah.
In a roll or bun.
Yeah.
Usually.
But I will note that you won't find somebody presenting usually. Okay, well, tell me of one time you've had somebody offer you a hamburger. I'd like to qualify this with somebody whose job
it was to offer me a hamburger.
As opposed to, because, I mean, my father would, like, ground beef and be like, I've mixed this with rice. Here, would you like to have a hamburger? And I'd be like, that's not a hamburger.
I don't think anyone paid to do so has ever offered me...
It's not on a menu. They don't say, oh, here's the breadless burger. It's served without anything on it. Like, cause
here's a question
I'll say,
for
like,
you.
Because you can go to In-N-Out Burger, and you can get it, what are they, protein style.
Yeah.
Lettuce leaf. So it's still being presented with a, for lack of a better comparison, a Starbucks coffee sleeve for your meat.
Are you familiar with their Flying Dutchman?
Yes, it's a haunted boat that sails around the... The
Flying Dutchman is a burger patty.
Yeah.
With a slice of cheese.
Okay.
And then a burger patty. So the...
So it's a grilled cheese sandwich with the best bun ever.
Yeah, basically. So here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the heel of a loaf of bread?
Yes.
Okay. If you used two heels...
Of a standard loaf of
bread. Of a standard loaf of bread to make your burger...
Yeah.
Would that then satisfy... Your definition of a hamburger or burger.
I mean, I think it would depend on how well cooked the heel is, but by and large, I believe that it probably would.
So my argument would be,
yeah.
And on this we must close this, it's been over an hour.
Wow.
But my argument would be that all that means is that if I use the middle slices of bread, I've just sliced that open-faced bun wrong. So if I took a loaf of bread...
So you're just clumsy at bread and
slicery? Loaf of bread and cut it in half, right?
Yeah.
Each of those is now 100% covered. It is a heel all around. And then put the bun in the middle. Albeit that would be a foot-tall burger, but it would be a burger nonetheless.
I think at that point,
and
you have
so
to
at
begin,
any point that you start slicing
I think
off
at
pieces
that point,
of that,
what you're going to have to say is there's
like
a ratio
deconstruction.
Thing. And I think the deconstruction element is like, would you take a hamburger bun and cut off the top of it and cut off the
I'm
bottom?
I'm going to start.
You're going to start?
I am.
Good.
Yeah.
I look forward to seeing this. And on that, I shall close
and
my
gonna
arguments for the evening.
I'm going to make you those burgers covered in cheese. Thanks for joining, everybody.